Okay. There we go. The technical snafus are not going to get to us. It's going to be a good message. This week I did something a little different. Normally I pray for a message to be put on my heart. This week I prayed for a message about mothers, with Mother's Day being today. And by mother, I mean any lady that has a birth by mother, by birth, by marriage, or by love. There are mother figures in our hearts that are mothers to us that we don't necessarily share blood with. I'm real fortunate, as some of us are, to have been blessed with a good mother, a mother-in-law who's like a mother, and a best friend's mother who's like a second mother, and married to a woman who's a wonderful mother. Some people may have found their mother figure from someone they don't share DNA or blood with. These women are still mothers. They are. Some of us are still fortunate to have our mothers with us. Some of us are left with memories of them and the promise that we'll see them again. And they filled our lives to that point with all these memories. But we'll see them again. I looked over so many scriptures. And also did a little online searching. Some fun facts about Mother's Day. It was started in 1914 by President Woodrow Wilson. Third largest retail holiday in the U.S. $23.1 billion spent for Mother's Day this year. More than 86 million moms will be celebrated today, and over 92 million people are going to be carrying mama out to a restaurant. Now, I found some statistics that bothered me. The 2017 U.S. Census Bureau, out of 12 million single-parent families with children under the age of 18, more than 80% are headed up by single mothers. Study from Working Mother magazine with two working parents, 96% of the people that responded to the survey are mothers. 80% of the moms that responded are working on nights and weekends and holidays just to get caught up. 81 out of 100 are afraid they're going to burn out. 88% say they suffer from at least one stress-related health ailment. 59% have anxiety problems, and 43% deal with depression. Our mothers are under spiritual attack. They're being worn down, and that's when Satan likes to strike. You think about Jesus' temptations in the desert. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And Jesus was led out by the Spirit, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before Satan came to tempt him. Our mothers may not experience a physical hunger over a long period of days, but a lot of them are experiencing spiritual hunger. There are times that I imagine moms feel alone and unappreciated. There are some workplace statistics I found from the Harvard Business Review, but I think they apply to mamas too. One well-known study, workers who felt criticized or unappreciated, 30% higher chance of coronary artery disease or heart attacks. Another workplace study, positive feedback basically produced about 30 times the production of negative feedback. There are times, and I'm first to admit this, Braden and I, we don't tell my other half how good a job she does and how well appreciated she is. And I think a lot of dads and husbands out there and children, we're all guilty of this. It's not that we're being mean, but our own lives get just so, everybody's just so busy, and we take a lot of things for granted, including mama. And also, This world is telling you that you don't know how to teach your children. What's in your heart that you have been raised with, you're being told is wrong now. And you're conflicted. And there are times we are not aware, the mothers are not aware of the impact that they have on their children. And I looked through parts of God's Word that involved mothers, and I found myself on this one particular section of Scripture. And I think it says so much about how much value God puts on mothers. This is John 19:23-30. Jesus was on the cross. He'd already been crucified. The soldiers took his garments and they divided them up, and they were casting lots for him, for his jacket, his tunic. In doing so, they fulfilled Scripture. Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be. It fulfilled the Scripture. They divided my outer garments among them, my clothing, they cast lots. While this was going on, Mary was there at the foot of the cross. And his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene, and the beloved disciple who we come to identify as John is there. This was spoken of in Psalms 22:18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. It was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Jesus was the Savior of this world. He was God in human form. But he was Mary's baby. That was her baby. And she was watching all this. Watching that child she gave birth to, she raised, hanging on the slow, agonizing way of death, and people dividing up his belongings. I found the quote, and to me it was very powerful. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Mary was crucified at the foot of Jesus' cross. I think the pain that she went through. As parents, and especially mothers, when our children hurt, we hurt. I think especially with mothers, and her pain was even prophesied to her. In the book of Luke, in chapter 2, there was, in verses 25-35, there was a man called Simon. And Simon, it was prophesied to him that he would live until he saw the Savior. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be dedicated at the temple, and Simon just gave this glorious declaration to God that he could go now because he knew he had saw the Savior. He looked at Mary, though, and Joseph in verse 35, and the sword will pierce even your own soul. He knew what was to come. Mary did too. And Mary could have left. She could have spared herself that pain that she knew was coming. Mary was very smart. She was very, on top of being such a high quality person, she knew, I think she knew that every day she was with him and every day, everything he did, that she did with him would make the pain worse when he had to leave. Going back to our spiritual attack that our mothers are on, I started looking. The number of mothers that have left their children have went from over 500,000 in the mid-80s to over 2 million in 2011. Our mothers are under a tremendous attack. Good mothers make a conscious decision to be there for their children through good and bad. And mamas, y'all know, they're the earaches, there's the graduations, there's getting your license, the first wrecks, and so many other things. But you're there with it. I'm hoping we're not going to experience the first wrecks anytime soon. Braden just got his driver's license. And the humanity of Jesus didn't come full grown. He could have. But Jesus experienced humanity. He came into this world as helpless and untaught as a lot of us. Even though he had that godly nature, there was a human side to him. No mother was ever more to her infant than Mary was to Jesus. like a lot of Jewish mothers, she taught him his first lessons. His first thoughts about God. She probably taught him his first prayers. As a lot of mothers have done, lay me down to sleep. I'm sure there was a Jewish version of it. And Jewish mothers are known, even today, for their relationship with their children. A rabbi said, God cannot be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. And this saying shows how sacred the Jewish thought of the mother's work for her child. Mary knew who and what her son was. She knew he was special. And she held on even tighter. All the teaching, all the love, all the care she gave him. And he's hanging on that cross. Everything she poured into him. Her heart, her soul. And he's up there for a crime he didn't commit. Sins that weren't his own. Jesus is the only sinless person ever in this world. But he was up there for all of us. But Mary was enduring that. What she saw was her baby. And I tried to think of comparisons in this world. And I know it's not on the same level. But I think about all the mothers that are out there dealing with children that have addictions. How they see what was and what was to be robbed, taken, destroyed, casted out. And I've taken care of patients with addiction. I've had family members with addictions. And it's very sinister. And that's the closest thing I think we can come to in this world. And even though a lot of people have the sense, well, they got themselves into that, how many of us have messed up and made one bad decision? The difference is, where we went right, they went left. And it led to more things. And I think that they were robbed. And I think about the pain that their parents, especially their mothers, go through watching them. And that made me think about, that was the comparison I found to Mary at the foot of this cross. Jesus looked down through all this pain and all this agony. And he saw Mary and he saw John, the beloved disciple. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Jesus was in pain that defies description. He had been flogged with a leather whip that had metal pieces on the end of it. As he sweated and as he bled, it caused each one to dig. It caused each whipping to get worse and worse and worse. On top of that, his hands and his ankles or feet had been pierced. And he was stretched out like this. Crucifixion did not kill people through the trauma. It killed them through suffocation. Because eventually the diaphragm and the muscles of the chest would get to the point where that person could no longer breathe. He died a slow, agonizing death. And on top of that, carrying the sins of this world with him. Out of all that, he thought about Mary. In all four Gospels combined, Jesus spoke 7 times on the cross. A total of 7 times. This is one of them. Mary was more than a vessel for Jesus to get to earth. He could have come fully grown. Mary was his mother. And as much as she loved him, he loved her. And Jesus wanted her taken care of after he was gone. This was a result of the impact that she had made on him. Joseph had probably died by this time. The last mention of him in the Bible was when Jesus was 12. And the beloved disciple, it was John. Jesus had 2 half-brothers who were grown. James is one that we know a lot, we know more about. In the Jewish tradition at that time, the next oldest son would take care of the mother of the family if something happened to the oldest. Jesus knew he wasn't a believer. James did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. John 7:5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. James would later come around. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:7, after that, he was seen by James. Jesus was seen by James after the resurrection, changed his life. James became one of the early founders of the church, the book that bears his name, and was a foundation of the early church. But at that time, he wasn't. Jesus placed a value on Mary's spiritual well-being as well as her physical well-being at the time. John did not have the resources of James, but he believed. John was the only disciple there at the crucifixion. Even Peter, the rock of the church, was not there. But the beloved disciple who Jesus valued as a brother was there. Mary at that time was over 50 years old. With years before her, too many for remembering, too few for forgetting. There was no Social Security, no welfare, no food stamps at this time. A widow faced a very desolate, a widow with no children faced a very desolate life. Jesus couldn't have that. In spite of everything that he was going through, probably the worst pain in this world, he thought of his mother. His earthly mother. He made a provision for her in love that he knew she would be safe. I want you to look at this. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I'm thirsty. They gave him a small sponge, liquid-filled sponge. And he said, it's finished, and he's gone. As he saw her being led away by John to his own home, that small part of the pain he was going through left. It was gone from his heart. He knew his mama was going to be taken care of for the rest of her life. Jesus came to earth to live and die for our sins. And he carried a massive weight on his shoulders, but he also carried a massive love and respect for his mother. And in his earthly assignment, what he had to do, he did not forget about her. That is the impact that a mother had on our Savior. He could have came fully grown. He didn't. In the depths of his pain, Jesus still showed so much love for his mother that he asked his best friend to be her son and take care of her moments before he died. Mothers, when you feel unappreciated, I want you to think about what Jesus did for Mary while he was there on that cross. He took care of her while he was dying and in pain and suffering so much. God loves mothers. Y'all are part of his plan. You have been since the beginning. There is a role that only a mother can fill, whether that role is through a birth mother or a mother figure. It's the love more than it is the DNA that makes a mother. That is why you're attacked so much in this world. Anything that Satan can do to take away from God's plan and his work, he's going to do it. And you think about the foundation of any family, it's a mother. You take away that foundation, and you've just increased the chances for another child to go left instead of right. Satan wants it, God doesn't. And he also creates doubt and anxiety and fear. That's not what you were meant for. Second Timothy, we're not meant for a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. And mothers, please remember that. Before the altar's open and songs begin, we're about to go to prayer. Mothers, I want you to ask God to share His will for you and your family. Seek His will to prepare you for all you're called to do. I'd like for the rest of us to lift up all the mothers in prayer. Satan's attacking them in so many ways. Husbands, let's pray for our wives and the mothers of our children. And as children, let's pray for our mothers. If I can get everybody to stand, please. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the songs will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we lift up the women that you are using as mothers. Father, whether by birth, whether by friendship and love, or by all, Father, they are under attack. This world is attacking them and telling them what's in their hearts wrong. They're under so much pressure these days. Father, we lift them up to you for renewal of their spirit, renewal of their heart, for protection from the enemy's attacks. Father, we, as humans, we don't recognize the job they do sometimes and what a glorious part of your plan they are. Father, please just give them that eternal heart, that heart of loving, just as much love as you can stick in there. Father, just give them the strength and grace that they need to make it through the hardships that they are going through. And Father, just help them to keep reaching out and doing what they do. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Altars are open.